Welcome to the Friday, May 17th episode of Briefings with Butts. This is our 37th episode of the 2023-2024 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Wayne Township. This weekly podcast is an important district communication tool for our staff, so thank you for carving out just about 10 minutes to listen each week to stay informed, connected, and most importantly, celebrate the incredible work we do and the difference we make in the lives of our students. First, I'd like to congratulate this week's Briefings with Butts trivia winner, Assistant Principal at Chapwood Elementary School, Angie Brown. Congratulations, Angie. You and your team, which would mean Mrs. Alexander Matthews and yourself, win a Jeans Day, maybe your office staff as well. Congratulations. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in. It's been another great week in the MSD of Wayne Township. This past Monday, we got to see all of our band students in MSD of Wayne Township at the Ben Davis High School Bandorama in the gymnasium at Ben Davis High School. Always just an amazing sight to see so many musicians on the floor of Ben Davis High School and all playing together at the end of that concert. Also, this past Wednesday, we had our annual international festival at Lyndhurst 7th and 8th Grade Center, hosted by and for our community. It was a great event with food, booths, performances, and activities to showcase many of the cultures here in the MSD of Wayne Township. And then today, Indy Gateway, in partnership with Area 31 Career Center, held an open house for our newly constructed home that was built by our construction trade students. The first time in 4 years since the pandemic hit that our students have been able to build a home and to put that on the market for the West Side community. This home is located at 307 South Vine Street in Fleming Gardens and will soon be listed and sold through a realtor if you are interested in purchasing that home. Well, I'm excited to welcome today's guest, Ben Davis High School's strength and conditioning coach and soon-to-be retiree, Kevin Vanderbush. Welcome, Kevin.
Happy to be here.
I know that I only gave you a few moments, and you've had a long career here at Ben Davis High School. Remind our listeners how long you have been a Giant.
It's 40 years now.
40 years.
I started in 1984, so finishing up my 40th year here.
What happened? What did you do before you came to Ben Davis? What was your pathway to Ben Davis High School?
Well, actually, I took a few years off college to participate in flatwater kayaking. Mm-hmm. I was on the U.S. national team, hoping to go to the 1980 Olympics. I was on the 1979 World Championship team, and partner at the, and I at that time were the fastest two-man kayakers in the country. So I'd taken some time off in hopes of attending the Moscow Olympics, but then they were boycotted. So went back to school. So I graduated a little bit later than most people, you know, with a few years off. So, mm-hmm. You know, came in at 25 years old, already married with a couple kids. So mm-hmm. Not the usual path of, you know, starting out and teaching.
And was Ben Davis High School one of the first high schools in the state or in the country to have this kind of a position?
Yeah, you know, in 1984, there were still colleges that did not have strength coaches, you know, MAC level schools that just had a sport coach in the weight room. So, yeah, we were way ahead of the game. I was fortunate in that they had just ordered some equipment here. We had a football coach that came in that had been at the college level, and they determined that we needed somebody to oversee the weight program that was going to be specifically in charge of that as opposed to a sport coach.
So is that how it really got started? The football coach came in and said, hey, if we want to have a world-class program, we really need to move our strength and conditioning program up.
I think he was a big part of it, but I also think the fact that they had ordered equipment ahead of other people and they mm-hmm. had a room developed and that they just had some sport coaches sitting in there after school that they decided that they needed to go further than that. So, yeah, we were one of the first high schools, and I really think, you know, in Indiana has more high school strength coaches per school than any other state. And I think because we got started so early and we saw so much success that a number of schools, you know, followed suit. And so Indiana was way ahead of the game.
Yeah. You have had the chance to work with some really amazing people over the course of the years. And I'm talking about students right now primarily. Do you think your experiences as an elite athlete before you got into strength and conditioning played a big role in your ability to work with students at that level?
Yeah, I mean, the sport I was in was not one that, you know, as a mainstream sport. So I had to be working with a lot of exercise physiologists, people at the, you know, Olympic development type people to understand training methods, to, you know, look at the psychology of sport. I know when I went to World Championships that, you know, at that time, these Germans, Russians, you know, had sports psychologists that traveled with the teams. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, really set me up for this job because, you know, I really enjoyed studying training, and both from the physical end and from the psychological end. You know, I was always a student of the mental part of sport. So, you know, I think what I did really, you know, transferred well to what my career ended up being.
Mm-hmm. And you have had a great opportunity to travel the country, maybe even in the world, to share your knowledge about strength and conditioning of specifically high school athletes. And in fact, you and some of your colleagues started an organization not too long ago to break away from kind of this focus on college and even higher levels, and to bring that focus back to high school. Talk about your experiences with being able to make those connections, even with high school coaches across the high school strength and conditioning coaches across the country.
Well, I was with a strength organization originally that had really branched out, and they were, you know, athletic trainers, college strength coaches, researchers. They really didn't focus specifically on high school strength coaches. So, you know, I did as much as I could with that. I got up to speak at the national level quite a bit. But there were a couple other guys and myself that decided that, you know, the high school level is specific to high school. Uh-huh. And you can't do a college program in a high school facility. So we decided that there was a need, because we saw that it was growing throughout the country, to start an organization for high school strength and conditioning coaches. And it really went real well. It's still going well. But you know, we understood that there was a need for the networking, for sharing of information, because a lot of the information that came from the college level or from just researchers was not specific to mm-hmm. what we needed at the high school level.
Over the last 40 years, people talk about, you know, are athletes getting faster, are they getting stronger, are things changing, is the sport changing? What's the biggest change you've seen in the high school athlete in the last 40 years?
Well, there's been both good and bad. I think that back in the day, I would have gotten athletes who went out and played kickball, wiffle ball, sandlot football, things like that on their own. Now everything has to be a sport practice. Mm-hmm. So I think they miss out on some overall skills and development, some general athleticism. So we get them very specific to the sport that they've trained at. So, I mean, I think that's the negative. Mm-hmm. The positive is that you don't have to convince anybody anymore that there's a need for strength and conditioning, athletic enhancement at the high school level. Everybody understands the benefits.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, a lot of times people they talk negatively about the role that sports have in high school experiences. And although that we know that there are many benefits that are gained from participation in team sports, in individual sports, in after-school activities, what do you tell somebody when they say, do we really need athletics? Do we really need a strength coordinator in a high school?
Well, what I would say is this. To me, the extracurricular activities in a high school give what a high school curriculum can't do. Mm-hmm. We're teaching life skills. Mm-hmm. We're teaching kids how to communicate, how to set goals, how to work well with each other, how to take coaching, how to win, how to lose. There are a number of things that I'm constantly talking with kids about that transfer to real life situations that I don't think you can give them that education any other way. Mm-hmm. I think it's vitally important that sports stay in the high school setting. The sports that are run outside of the high school setting is where I think you see a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of these club coaches that promise kids scholarships, and, you know, kids are flown all over the place and not really working on fundamentals but playing games all the time. There are things like that I think take away from the 14 to 18 year old experience. Mm-hmm. And I think the high schools still have it right.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the 2023 state football championship this year, Class 6A, was your 25th state championship in 40 years?
We've won 25 state championships and 10 in football. Proud of that. Before I got here, I mean, this is one of the things that I guess I brag about a little bit, but in the 47 years of football prior to 1984, we averaged about 3 wins a year. Oh. We'd never been past a sectional, only had 11 winning seasons. And in the 40 years that we've had a strength and conditioning program, 21 years we've been into the Final Four, 10 state championships, average 9.5 wins a year. And I told this team this year, by finishing at 119 losses in my career, that I could for the rest of my life tell everybody it's less than 3 losses a year. By one, but it's still less than 3 losses.
I know that there's lots of great memories that are associated with winning and with the state championships, but probably there are some other memories that you're going to take with you that really stand out over your 40-year career. What might a couple of those be?
Well, you know, I've always said that I use strength and conditioning as a platform to change lives. And, you know, I come with the idea that I want to make a difference. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed the, you know, the athletic successes. But the things that I'll remember most are those student athletes who I felt like would allow me to get inside their head, use me as a resource, use me as a mentor, as a counselor, as an advisor, that I was able to, at a very important time in their life, be that person that they come talk to. And I've been very fortunate that a number of them have come back and, you know, let me know how much they appreciated the fact that, you know, I was there for them at an important time in their life. And I've had a number of parents, you know, they've been very good about, you know, telling me that, hey, they don't listen to me right now, but they'll listen to you. Yeah. And I appreciate that. So I look at that as the thing that, you know, I hang my hat on as the thing that's most important in my career.
Couple more questions as we get ready to wrap up here. You mentioned kayaking. I would imagine that's going to be part of your repertoire in your retirement.
Yeah. You know, for me, everybody keeps asking, what are you going to do? Because, you know, for me, I've been scheduled for 40 years straight. typically, the last day of school means the next day I'm in the weight room for summer lifting. So I've never really had a summer off. My family has had to adjust vacations around the 1 week off I get from moratorium, which is the most expensive week of the summer. So I'm looking forward to designing my own schedule. Now, fitness will be a big part of it. You know, I've got weight equipment. I've got cardio equipment. I love still getting out there in a kayak. You know, I'll go 6 miles at a time. Really enjoy that. One of my sons actually has a kayak, so we're able to do that. So that'll be a big part of what I do. But I'm going to be around my grandchildren. You know, I've had to adjust a little bit as one has gone to school. But now, you know, all summer long, I spend time with my grandkids. I get into woodworking, so have more time to actually work on projects more than just, you know, after school or on weekends. So I'll have plenty to do to keep busy.
I think a little known fact, you've built some of their furniture.
Yeah, yeah. you know, my son and daughter-in-law moved into a, you know, bigger house at the start and needed some furniture. So they came to me, hey, can you build this and can you build that? And started building quite a few things and really enjoying it.
Last question. You were, I think, maybe our first staff member to present at opening day to the entire faculty body, the entire staff body. And you brought material from many books that you've read because you are an avid reader. Most of your reading material has been based on leadership and psychology and sports and improvement. Will you change your genre of reading in retirement?
I've actually been asked that a number of times. At this point, I don't see that. I mean, I've always been into personal development, and I feel like there's a carryover to relationships, to family, to you know, what my job has been, dealing with people. So, you know, I'll always continue to read, and I'll always read. You know, I'm not a fiction reader. I don't read novels. But I'll continue to read things that I think will help me continue to grow. I mean, I don't want to retire and be done with things.
Right.
You know, I want to continue, be a lifelong learner.
I know I said that was the last question, but I you're leaving the strength and conditioning program in great hands. There's one of our alumnus coming back. You want to share who's going to fill that role after the first day of summer?
Yeah, we've hired DeMarco Henry, who you know, was on our 2014 state championship football team, went to DePaul. And he came back to me and, you know, told me he was really interested in strength and conditioning, didn't know whether the college or the high school level. I convinced him that the high school level was the direction to go. And he started his career down at Lawrenceburg High School, done very well with that. His first year there, teacher of the year. So the strength program will be in good hands. You know, we'll have somebody in who has seen the way it's been done here, has developed some things on their own. It's going to be high energy. So I feel good about passing the torch.
And I'm sure that he's going to have you on speed dial for a little while.
I would guess so.
Coach Vanderbush, it has been a pleasure to have you as one of our last guests for this year's podcast. We thank you very much for joining us. For those who don't know, Kevin goes by many names, V-Bush, Coach V-Bush, Coach Vanderbush, Coach V. But we just want to say thank you for all that you've done for MSD of Wayne Township and all the Ben Davis Giants you've had the chance to positively impact over the last 40 years.
I've enjoyed it. I mean, I wouldn't have been any other place.
Awesome. Well, this Saturday, May 18th, from 6:30 to 9, that's tomorrow, stop by for Sweat at Ben Davis High School. You might remember we talked about that last week with Mr. Allison. Also, next Tuesday, May 21st, we look forward to celebrating our retirees at the retirement dinner. And next Wednesday, May 22nd, we look forward to our unified game day. That is our rain date because we were rained out this past Tuesday. Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest on what's happening in the MSD of Wayne Township. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to end with our mission to activate and accelerate student learning and our vision to develop great people. Thank you for the impact you make each and every day. And remember, I am Wayne, you are Wayne, we are Wayne. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.